Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 6 of Galatians. This will wrap up this book. I'll begin by reading. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I can't see that word. Oh, I can. Well, there's a mark on the page. I can't see the rest of the word. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written to you in my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Let's go back and see what this little ending chapter has for us. He says, brother, if any human being, and that's what it should say, it's anthropos, any human being be overtaken, okay, what do you think that word is? Literally, it's not being overtaken, but is caught. And it doesn't mean to be caught like an animal in a trap. It doesn't mean, like you're caught doing something wrong, but it's like you're being caught in a trap. You're restrained there. You can't get out of it. Okay? And that's the trap. That's what he's talking about. When you've been caught in something, you can't get out of it. If someone's weak and does something wrong, or someone is misinformed and deceived into thinking the wrong way, do you think they'll ever come out if someone doesn't love them enough to tell them the truth? See, someone has to come along and say, his foot's caught in the trap, I got to open the trap up and let him out. You've got to try something, because he's never going to come out of that trap as long as he doesn't know any other way out. He knows what he thinks what he's doing is right. That's the whole thing. Someone has to have the compassion, just as Christ did for us, to come and let us loose. We could never have got out on our own, could we?
He's incapable of releasing himself.
Absolutely. If we could have done it ourselves, then what was the cross about?
The grace of God.
That's right. If they're caught in, and the word a fault literally is in any fault or any paratoma. And the word paratoma Paul uses, and it means to, whether it's intentional or unintentional. No matter what you did, if you're caught in it and can't get out of it, somebody's got to help you. He said, but you which are spiritual, that's present tense, isn't it? That's not one that's going to be. He said, and the word spiritual literally means non-carnal. If you're not carnal, then you'd have to be spiritual, wouldn't you? So if you're spiritual, restore this person, see, this such a one, and it should be this kind or this sort, in the spirit of what? Meekness or kindness, okay, or humility, considering yourself, lest you also be tested or enticed into the same trap. Okay? Do you know how many people are are tested in the same way of things because they just wouldn't say no to it?
Like they're like a animal.
Yeah.
Alcoholics.
I couldn't hear you. Yeah, just have one drink with me.
Addictions.
It's a habitual way of thinking.
As long as you think it's okay to do it, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. You've got to truly repent, change the way you think, and get away from it. And there's so many people that think, well, if I become a friend of this person and do the things they're doing, then I can change them. Really? You're going to start shooting up because the drug addict does it? I'm not. I'll do anything to help them except put myself in that same situation. There's no good thing comes out of an evil thing, is there? Okay, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and in this way fulfill or complete the law of Christ. Didn't Jesus say that he came to fulfill the law? Okay, so if he fulfilled it, what are we supposed to do? See, he fulfilled that law and he gave us a new law, love. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? Fulfill that law of love. Love the Lord to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole covenant. If we can learn to love people, and loving people doesn't mean you have to go hug everybody's neck and give them a kiss. Sometimes loving them is just telling them the truth. Sometimes loving them is just letting them go on their own course. There's a lot of ways to love people, isn't there? And you've got to have enough discernment is the word I was looking for. Struggled there a minute. But discernment to know when and how and where God wants you to deal with each person. He didn't deal with everybody the same way. Look at all the disciples, the way he talked to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, John was someone tender. He talked to him really pleasantly and got the point across. But to Peter, it wouldn't work because Peter was rough and hard. So he had to talk with him and get his attention. Sometimes you got to deal with people that way.
Gentleness had to be different avenue to bring it about.
It's got to be buffered somewhat sometimes, and other times you need the full force of it to get the effect. And that's just you have to be led by the Spirit of God on how to do things. I can't tell you how to do it, can I? That's got to be you in your situation understanding what should be done right. Because where is Christ? It's in you. It's in me. See? And the Christ in you has got to be the one directing you. The Christ in me can't direct you, can it? What?
Sometimes it can. If you said, if my love that I have inside of me is the Christ.
Well, what I'm saying is, I understand what you're saying, but that's not where I was taken with that thought. Okay, what I'm saying is I can't just go tell Lloyd what you got to do.
That's
not up to me to tell him anything, or Lisa, or anybody else. I can't tell you what to do, can I? I can make a suggestion, but it's got to be you and the Christ within you that makes that decision.
Unless it resonates in you.
Well, if I say something and it resonates in you, that's fine. But if it doesn't, then I've already done all I can do.
You've
got to do it the way that the Christ in you tells you. So don't get caught up in someone telling you what you should do. You know, you got to make your own decisions. And as kings, we got to learn how to do what? Make decisions. We got to make judgments. You know, and we will make some wrong ones. That's okay too. You learn from them. Don't worry about it. Just go on. Verse 3. Because if a human being think himself to be, what's that word, something? The word something really is, it should be, you should say, if he thinks himself to be somebody.
Somebody other than Christ.
See, that's important. That's arrogance and pride in that thing. When he is not, is what it should say. When he thinks himself to be somebody, when he is not. No, the word nothing isn't correct. So when he is not, he deceives himself, or he deceives his own mind. See, if I think myself to be somebody and I'm not, that's what it's saying, then I'm deceiving. Somebody else ain't deceiving him. Who's deceiving him? He deceiving himself. Yeah. Deception comes from within ourselves. See, it's not from without. Backed up by this book many times. But verse 4, but let everyone prove his own work. Lois said something years ago. She said, I don't have to prove myself to anybody. That's a very true statement.
God told me that.
Yeah. Well, but you said it. Okay.
He told me I didn't have to prove myself.
And it's the truth. You don't have to prove yourself. And that's what Paul's saying right here. Let every man, everyone, prove his own work. The only one you can prove it to is you. See, if you can prove yourself to you, what difference does it make what anybody else thinks about you? Do you know what your father thinks about you?
If you have to prove yourself, you're still living under the law.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying, you know, you got to learn to make decisions and don't worry about what somebody else thinks about it. I listen to everything everybody says because I get lots of criticism and I can handle it. But sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're really right. Whether it's in the right spirit or not makes no difference. If someone comes at me with a very aggressive attacking mode and they're right, their attitude is wrong, but their thought process is right, I can still hear it and understand. I don't have to pat that person on the back and say thank you for that, but I can see it and see the error of my way and go ahead and correct it. See? Even though they were wrong in the way they attacked me, that doesn't mean I don't see that I maybe had something wrong. Do you understand that? That's what we have to do. We have to judge it ourselves. Prove it to ourselves. When I'm clear with it, or when you're clear with it, it doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks, does it? See? That's how you stand being in this world but not of it. You've got to be clear. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. See? Not wanting somebody else to give you an approval. You don't have to have an approval. Your father has already approved you. Is that true? If that's true, then what difference does it make what anybody else thinks?
Just go your own way.
Paul said, if God be for you, who cares who's against you?
If it brings separation, then it was meant to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In verse 4, I'm going to read out a Living Bible. I think that's what this is. This is the New American Standard. But let everyone examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another or anyone else. That there's so many of these other translations sometimes just really hit it right on the mark. Let me read this one in here. This is in the Living Bible. Christ is useless to you if you are counting on clearing your debt to God by keeping those laws. You are lost from God's grace. You're outside the law of grace. You're under the law of Moses. So, verse 5. Because everyone shall bear his own burden. And there's a ton of scriptures verifying that. If anybody interested in any of them, it's there. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah 32:19. I'll give you a couple New Testaments. Matthew 16:27, Romans 2:6, Revelation 22:12. I mean, there's a whole bunch more I've got, but you know, there's no sense going through each and every one of them because it's saying the same thing.
It is what it is.
But we need to know that we don't stand. From the old covenant, see, children could stand for the sins of their father. They would have to bear the burden of what their fathers did for generations. But under the new covenant, every man bears his own burden.
Don't you think man now still does that?
Sure they do, because they're still living under the law.
That's
because they're under the law. Just like you just said, they're still under the law. And that's the whole point of Christ coming, was to get everybody out under the law, but it's every man in his own order.
Reverse the curse.
It's already been done, but they just don't believe it.
Why was this man born blind? Was it something he did or something his parents did?
Know that God can show his glory and mercy. See? And if you can't understand that, then you're going to continue to live under that law and of condemnation and guilt. You're never good enough. You know, I deal with people all the time and say, well, I'm just a piece of crap. You know, just all these things happen all the time. I had to have done something, you know, to bring it on. I said, no. Everybody gets it. Sun shines on how many people?
All.
Who's the rain fall on?
The ones outside.
Yeah. But it falls on the good and the evil, the just and the unjust. They all get the same. So you have to realize it's not because of what you did. It's what you need to experience. It's this walk in this life. We have to experience it. There's no shortcuts. Okay, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. And that thing never made sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense the way it reads.
But it does when you hear it the other way.
Yeah.
Let me read it to you out of the New American Standard. Yeah. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. See, that makes sense. See, because in the day this happened, there was people, these apostles didn't have jobs per se to make an income. And when God called them, they followed him. And he told them that, you know, the man's worthy of his hire. The laborer who labors and works worthy of their hire. And in that time and day, they really needed that. And I truly think today it's someone that has to have it. That's what's there. I've never took a salary, you know, don't. But these people that go making $50,000, $100,000, millions of dollars a year in churches. Come on. There's nobody worth that kind of money.
I heard someone say that they stood in line the other day to get an autograph from a gospel group.
I know. Their idols, they're gods to them, and that's okay. You know, that's, they're just entertainers, and most of the preachers are just entertainers. They're entertaining and telling you what you want to hear, so you'll put your money in a basket somewhere so they can spend it. And you know, you give because it's your nature to give. You don't give to get. If you give to get, you've already defeated the purpose right there. You give because it's the nature. God so loved the world, what did he do?
He gave.
And see, it's nothing that you can make it happen. It's got to be what's inside of you. You know, before I ever became anything to do with coming to a church or anything like that, and I don't even like to use that word anymore, association to it, but whenever I started in this, when God started working on me, when I was as heathenistic as I ever was in my life, I was always in trouble with my ex-wife because I was giving things away. I like to give things away. I can't help it. It just, that was my nature. And I didn't even realize it because, you know, I thought, what am I, stupid? But I still did it, you know, because it was my nature. And I would just do it. And there's still people today get on me about it, you know. Say, why do you give things away? I said, well, because I like to. I just like to. If I got 10 things and I can't use but one of them, what good does it do me to have 9 of them in reserve, let them lay and rot somewhere when somebody else has a need? I told Lois, as we got married, I said, if we don't use it within 6 months or a year, it should find a new home. Why should the closets be full of stuff you don't use? And God, she's hauled out of here and hauled out of here and hauled out of here. And there's still stuff that gets back in here. I wonder sometimes how it gets in here, but it does.
Because those crazy people go out every weekend and carry them little gray bags back in. That's
fine. I guess. Something like that. But, you know, there's no sense keeping it. I had a shed up there full of tools, not give most of them away. Just give them to people that needed them. You know, I don't need all of them. I'm not going to use them, especially not now. Just don't have any need for it. And that's the way we should be doing. Not just throw them out in the yard and say, anybody come along, just go ahead and take what you want. But find people that have a need and give it to that person who has a need. I've had people come to borrow tools and said, yeah, just go ahead and keep it. What? I said, just go ahead and keep it. I'm not using it anymore. Well, yeah, I don't want it anymore. You take it. Just let them keep it. That's the way to do it. Do it wisely. Do you remember in Acts when they had the apostles, they said, choose out certain men full of the Spirit and let them choose and distribute how to distribute things. See? And it should be somebody using discernment, not just give it to everybody coming down the road, but give to the ones that have need. Because we know we got people out here that hustle, don't we? Stand on corners and beg when they got a nice home down the road. Begging money. And they're on the system. So
were they called senators?
That's part of them. Yeah. I heard one say on the MSN this morning, said he worked hard for his money and he needed his check. He wasn't going to give his check up. Really? A senator worked hard? When did you ever see him outside of air conditioning with a glass of whiskey in their hand and a suit and tie on? You know, when did they ever work? Anyway, we'll leave that alone too. Okay, so it says, really, what I read there in the New American Standard, let the one who is taught in the Word share all good things with him who teaches. And he says, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, Because whatsoever a human or human being sows, that or of that thing shall he also reap. So if I am gracious to people, or if you are gracious to people, what's going to come back to you?
Grace.
Graciousness is going to come back to you, isn't it? But if we shut people off, if we get hard, and there's some people that you have to cut off, you know, that they're just abusers of everything, taking away the stuff that other people need when they really don't need it. You have to be able to say no and be and use discernment in to make those decisions. When you do that, everything will be fine. But be kind to people. I mean, that's not a hard thing to do, really, is it? Some of them you'd like to choke to the ground, I understand at times. But really, that's the flesh. That's not who you are. See, we have a trouble a lot of times of discerning those emotions, which is not who we are, into who I am. And see, when we're doing that, we're having the wrong identity in our mind. That's not who I am. In the past, have I done those things? Absolutely. Literally choke them down or beat them down, but that's beside the point. That wasn't me who did it. That was who I thought I was. That's what happened to Adam in the garden. He forgot who he was. That's why he separated himself from God. He was ashamed to be close to God. That's just the way it is.
And I'm just putting that in like today's terms. You know, all these people who are just being greedy and just taking for themselves, they're going to lose something much more than what they ever took.
Oh, yes. For a temporary satisfaction here throughout eternity. So let them have it. If that's what they want, let them have it. You know, Father's still going to take care of us. Proverbs 11:4, it's 10 or 11, he says, in verse 4, he says, he would not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. If he's not going to let you starve to death, he's not going to let you be your head cut off or anything else, you'll be all right. He'll take care of you.
So, do the children of the righteous go hungry?
Nope, nor beg for bread. See? So it'll be all right. We just got to learn.
It'll be written big on your walls and your house.
When you keep hearing all these negative things all around you, it's hard not to get beat down. You have to remember to pull yourself up out of that muck.
If it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
We need t-shirts printed up. I am a practicing pessimist. Optimist.
Wait a minute here. I got to clear that. Are you going to clear that statement off that table?
No, I get those confused. I know.
I know.
I'm an optimist.
We're just ribbing you.
Need to be practicing optimist.
Absolutely. But whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. Is God a liar?
No.
If I sow it, I'm going to reap it. And I think you can sow, you know, all of us have sown the negatives, haven't we? Every one of us has sowed many times. But I think if we sow enough of the good wheat, the good word, the good grain, into our minds and into our lives, if we sow enough of it, I think it'll choke the other stuff out.
I know it'll choke it out.
Huh?
I know it'll choke it out.
That's what I'm saying. You'll overtake the negative.
I don't think I know.
That's what I said. Well, I'm being optimistic there, but some people maybe not believe that. You're right. It's no.
If you do that, it's because we see those people come around us that constantly are working in that other mode.
And it's just disgusting. I don't even want to be around it.
But that's where the compassion comes.
I understand.
That, you know,
doesn't mean I like to be in the midst of it, though.
No, it's pretty dragging down to you. But yeah. And if you just say something, they look at you like a deer in headlights. They have no idea what you're talking about. And they don't.
That's because they're caught in a trap.
Exactly, that entrapment you was talking about, that mindset that they've got themselves in a trap and they don't know how to get out. That's where the Christ, when I was saying earlier, the Christ in me can bring that to light. If there is a glimmer of light there to be had.
Okay. Verse 8, this is a powerful verse. I want you to hear what it says. I've read it for years and years and years and years, and I think I have a better understanding today than I ever have. Hopefully it's a lot better than I ever have. Because the one that sows to his flesh, notice the his. It's not saying sow into flesh, somebody else's. Who is it? It's his. It's your own, right? You have to realize, I'll just put it this way, for he that sows to, if I sow to my flesh, I shall from out of my flesh reap what? Corruption or moral decay. If I sow to my flesh, I'm going to reap moral decay. It's an internal thing. It's not external. See, everybody thinks it's all external stuff. This is all inside of us. But the one that sows to his spirit, not the spirit, his spirit. That's the one we're talking about, aren't we?
Whichever one you
feel. I sow to the spirit that's in me. That's my spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. If I sow to my spirit, he that sows to his spirit shall from his spirit, okay, or that spirit, reap the life of the ages. Where's the life of the ages located?
Within me.
Within your spirit. It's not out there somewhere hoping it'll show up. It's already within you. You've got to let this thing be manifested from the inside out. The church world has it. Oh, you need to get filled with the Spirit.
I am the Spirit.
We are. See? They got it totally wrong. I saw it many years ago when I was still back in Pentecost. I said, wait a minute. It's not an indwelling of the Spirit coming. It's an outflowing of the Spirit, even when stepping into Pentecost. It's something coming out of you. And they totally say, no, it's just the other way. You just got it, you know. No, I've already had it all my life. I just didn't know it.
You just let it out now.
It escaped.
Next verse, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I
got to
remind myself of it.
Okay. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, or for doing good, because in due time, or one's own set time, is what it should say. It's the word kairos. He said, because in one's own set time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. What it should say, if we don't grow weary. Don't grow weary, because when the time you give up, one more step might have been the one step that got you there.
Well, in the natural, if you watch it, if you sit and watch that seed to grow, it's not going to do it while you're watching it. When you get up the next morning overnight and it's up and it's like that high, and you're like, wow.
Well, I don't know, but my mind's not catching everything you're saying. All
evidently,
I can't help it. I'm just
all the time.
Yeah, it does. We're saying the main thing is stay at it. Don't give up. You got to hold on to the hope that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. He has never given us a reason to doubt it, has He? So why should we worry now?
I see it all the time. A lot that people do not believe in this law anymore. I mean that law of reaping.
No.
I see it. I mean,
you know why? Because they don't see an instant gratification or an instant judgment.
Yeah.
See, they just want. We live in an instant world.
That, you know, they justify, you know, the every man for themselves attitude. You know, everybody else is doing it, so.
And nothing happened to them, so let me add it too. You know.
I want to share the universal one and reconciliation.
Well, they use that. But see, it's liberty. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. Not a license to do whatever you want. It's a liberty to live the life of Christ. Because you couldn't live it before, could you? But now that we know where the Spirit of Christ is in us, we can live from that Spirit, and we have a liberty to do that. But it's not a license just to do anything you want to do and say it don't make any difference, because it does make a difference.
Don't you think they discard this law?
Sure they do. Well, see, you have to realize, if someone is blind and deaf, what do you think they really know about it? The Scripture says that a double-minded man is what? All their ways. See, so if they're still living in that Passover Pentecostal thinking process, those first 2 days, if Jesus didn't get fulfilled or completed until the third day, they think when they come to Pentecost, they've got it all. You know, the Passover people, they think they got it all. As soon as they walk into church and get slapped in the forehead, knocked down, thrown in the water, and drug out, and now you got it. You know, that's their mentality. Because they don't know, they've never took the time to see for themselves, to find out what really is going on, what God's really said to us, and they just take somebody's word for it.
Well, really, if we look at this, like I was saying, in the spirit, we do not reap and sow.
No, it's in the flesh. It's in the flesh.
And I think that's where they may be thinking that, because anything we do in the flesh, we're going to...
Well, even if you do good things in the flesh, it may not be directed by God, you know?
True.
So, I mean, that's why he said...
By your God.
Yeah. That's why he said, in that day, many will say, Lord, 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 have we not done these things? And he'll say, depart from me. Yeah. He said, I never knew you. I wasn't associated with your works. I didn't tell you to do them. So everything is about his will and his purpose. And we, if we don't know it, how could we ever fulfill it? And Jesus made it very clear that all the law and the prophets hang on these two things, loving God and loving your fellow man. So he said everything is on that. If you can fulfill this, you've done everything. You've fulfilled the law. And that's all he's asked us to do, is to love.
It's a confused mess out there.
Sure it is. But he knows that, and he knows it's still confused, but because everything is done in the order and the time that he wants it done in. And we've got to relax and let it go. Yeah. I don't care what they do. It's none of my business. See? Just let them go do what they want to do. If God wants somebody to hear something, do you think they'll hear it?
Absolutely.
See? That's all there is to it. He'll take care of it.
Saul heard it.
Huh?
Saul heard it.
Yep.
Jonah heard it.
Yep. Even when they didn't want to, they got it.
Adam
yeah.
heard it.
Yep. So.
There's a little faith and trust involved in this.
You think? You think?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, see, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all. The word man isn't there, but all. Especially to them who are of the household of faith, or particularly to those that are of the household of faith. So, he's saying, pay attention first to the brethren that are in the faith, but then get the rest of them too. As the opportunity arises, take care of what you can. Do what you can. So he didn't tell you to sell everything you have and live a vow of poverty in some convent or someplace up on a hill somewhere, or as a monk up on a hill somewhere in Asia or somewhere. He didn't tell anybody to do that. That's man's putting that on people.
Well, he told one person. But that was because he...
One person.
Yeah, because he knew that that one person couldn't do it.
Yeah.
What must I do, Master, to inherit?
Yeah.
Go sell everything you got and give yeah. the poor and follow me.
But he knew he wasn't going to start with. He went away offended.
He didn't tell everybody.
No.
No.
Basically read his mouth.
Yeah, he read his mouth. He knew that the money was his issue.
Yeah.
Exactly what it was. Verse 11, he goes on and says, you see how large a letter I've written to you in with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shoe, and it should say a good showing in the flesh, they constrain you or compel you. Okay, they compel you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution, or it should be only so they would not suffer persecution is what it should say. They don't want to, they want to put it in there. If they would say you don't need to do that, how much persecution would come from their fellow Jews?
A lot.
They would be ostracized because they went against the law of Moses. The law of Moses, it didn't say the law of God, did it? Everybody gets that. No one pays any attention to that. It's not the law of God. It's the law of Moses. So they suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. There is persecution in the cross of Christ. Is there not? I've got a teaching. It takes me 2 hours basically to read the scripture with very little comment on just suffering of the New Testament, the New Covenant. If you don't suffer with me, you'll not reign with me. That's just one of many.
I think you just condensed your 2 hours.
I did, as much as I could. And
2 hours of it.
I understand that. So what I'm saying is, people think that they come to church and, oh, bless God, I'm going to live in heaven forever. Everything's heaven right now. I'm just floating on the clouds and seeing angels with wings and little fat naked babies and I'm just having fun. And that's not what it's about at all. Because this flesh must be tamed down. It must be done away with. We can't have any more flesh. The book says that there's two men in the earth. As long as there's two in me, we got a conflict, haven't we? Mm-hmm. And he said, one will be taken and one will be left. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh man's the only one that's going to leave. spiritual man's never going to be removed from the earth. Check your Proverbs out. You'll find that real quick. Starting in Proverbs 2, 30 and 31, and Proverbs 10, 30, and Proverbs 11, 30 and 31. You'll see them, see what they say. The righteous will never be removed from the earth. That pretty well settles it, don't it? Okay. Because neither, verse 13, because neither they themselves who are circumcised obey the law, but desire to have you circumcised in order that they may boast in your flesh. What? Huh? Well, they want to say, look what we did. We got them in control. We made them do this. We got them doing.
We got saved
today. Yeah, look at the number. God, you got that? I put it on the scoreboard. Did you get it? Yeah. What did they do? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Verse 14. But God forbid, or the words literally is genomei, it should say, but may it never be that I should glory or boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world, the cosmos, is crucified to me. Now, this world out here, we talk about this thing, this globe we walk on, that's the earth, that's not the world. But the worldly ways of everything out there, that's the things that's crucified in me. The ways of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not of their way of doing things. It's totally different. It just doesn't work. You know, give everything away and it keeps coming back. That's not the way of the world. You take everything you can take and hustle and shyster everybody you can and get all you can get every time you can get it. And yet they lose. But they still dig and scratch for it, don't they? Okay. Whom the world, it said, through whom the world is crucified to me. See, that has to come out of us. We have to come to the place where we say that the world is crucified to me through the cross of Christ. Didn't he say, when I was crucified, you were crucified in me? I was buried in you, and when he come up, I was resurrected in you. Did Paul say it in Romans? See? So you have to have this in your thinking process. That was me. I'm part of this. I'm not the Christ, but I'm part of this Christ. It's a many-membered body.
Seated in the heavenly.
If we're not, then we're more miserable than anybody else, just like Paul said. If this ain't true, we're more miserable than anybody. And I am to the world. He said, the world's crucified to me, this worldly thinking is crucified to me, and I am crucified to them. So in other words, crucified means dead, don't it? So the world's dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. If I'm dead to the world, what effect can it have on me? You hear that? No effect. You can laugh at it. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process you go through. We all have to go through it. But you have to come to a place sometime where you say, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to let that stuff bother me. It does not have to have an effect on me. I'm dead. If you think dead people respond, go to the cemetery and talk to a few of them. See how much response you get out of them.
It'd make you a psychic, wouldn't it?
Psycho or something. I got a dead cat buried over in the yard over there. Go over and talk to that cat and pet it. You know, it's not there anymore. It's dead. It's gone. It has no effect on worldly stuff anymore, does it? It's gone.
You go decorate the grave or trying to turn around.
I'm trying to live in the past. I don't do that stuff. I mean, if somebody wants to do it, that's their business. But that's past to me and part of the worldly thing. There's no place in this book that says you should go decorate graves when they're dead.
I've never heard such a tradition until I moved up here. I've never.
It's insane, isn't it? Me it is. I don't know.
You go over to the graveyard now, they're decorating.
Oh. Well, you go up and down the road. Every place somebody died, there's a cross with flowers, and they go back every so often and almost get killed themselves going out there putting a cross in. You know, like, what are you, crazy? Go out in the middle of an interstate and stick a cross up.
Why would you want to remember that?
That's the point. See, they live in the past, and that's their whole life. They have no future.
You know, remember the good stuff, not how they died.
But they're taught if they don't do that, they're not being good. Yeah, they're entrapped in that system that says you need to mark that. You know, everybody else did it, so I got to do it to be like them. And if I don't do it, then I'll be something wrong with me. He made us all unique. Every single one of us are different, and we should live our lives that unique. We are special. You know, see, they don't see that. I don't know.
Like us.
there's nobody else like me, and I won't get any problem with that, will I?
No way.
Doesn't that become a burden to them? I mean, you know.
Well, sure. They're constantly trying to, just like I said a while ago about, you know, everybody's trying to worry about what someone else says back here in.
Pay that price.
Yeah. Verse 4, they're always trying to satisfy what someone else thinks, and they're not caring about what they think about anything.
You step out from that, and you're the crazy
one. Oh, you're the crazy one.
They're not free. They're not.
They're not. They're under the law.
They're under the law.
Absolutely under the law.
Law of themselves.
Yeah, but still the law of man, that's what they're doing. Okay. Verse 15, because in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but here's what it should say, but only a new creation. Okay?
That's what the Amplified says.
It's a new creation, not a creature, a new creation. He's not talking about making a new flesh body. It's a new creation in my understanding. And actually, it's not new, but it doesn't. This word doesn't always mean new, something brand new. It's actually going back to what you were from the beginning.
Renewed.
A renewed thing, see?
From death to resurrection.
Well, but we were alive in God before the foundation of the world, and now He brought us out and let us experience what we needed to do to get back to where we belong. So we would believe it. I've had people say, well, why didn't He just make us that way to start with? And I said, you wouldn't appreciate anything, would you? If somebody gave you everything, how much would you appreciate it?
We actually did. We forgot it.
Well, I know, but I'm saying we had to experience it so we would appreciate it. We wouldn't have experienced it. If we hadn't experienced it, we won't appreciate it. We have to appreciate what we went through.
The foundation, when we were with Him, we decided we wanted to know everything He knew. So
He said, okay, here you go. There you go, see? And the only way you're going to know it is experience it. Telling you something will not tell you. What I'm telling you right now won't change you until you hear it by the Spirit. Right? You've got to hear it by your own spirit that it's right or wrong. And when you do, that's your experience now. See, that's why Paul could say, this is my gospel. Why? Because he wasn't preaching about the Christ that was hung on a tree, the Jesus. He was talking about the Christ in him. He knew that Christ was in there. I know that'll make them crazy too. That's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. So you got to know that this Christ is in you, the same Christ that was in him. Didn't Paul write in Philippians, if this same Christ is in you, the same Spirit is in you that was in Jesus, he will what? Quicken your mortal body. It'll make it alive. Not if your body's already alive. He's talking about what's inside of it. He'll quicken that same Spirit in you to come up to be the same way. It's the same Spirit.
It's got a resume.
Before you can ever show it out.
It becomes simple to you because you've experienced it, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
But that all comes with knowing the difference between good and evil.
Well, it's not even knowing good and evil. Good and evil is the same. They come from the same tree. They both come from humanity.
Yeah.
But God, the love of God, the spiritual God, comes from Him. It doesn't come from that tree.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is without that tree, without us going through this experience, how do you describe hot to somebody that's not experienced cold?
Yeah.
How do you express love if you don't understand hate? I mean, we have to...
I understand the theory that you're saying, but what I'm saying is good and evil are on the same tree, so you don't have to define good and evil because God uses them both for His benefit. You have to define good and evil versus God.
Yeah. What we was talking about was why didn't God just make everything, you know, the way it was?
Because
why
we needed to experience it. Yeah.
It's that reaping and sowing thing.
We need to learn. That's the only way you can learn is by reaping what you sow. If I touch something that's hot and it burns me, I'm not going to do it again unless I'm really stupid.
That's that experience.
Yeah.
We do have to experience.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, in 15 there, where we finished it up there, it said a new creation. Now the next verse says, and, which is a connecting conjunction, says, and as many as walk, and another word for walk is what?
Live.
As many as live according to this rule, what rule?
Love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, that new creation. See, when you walk and live according to this new creation, and that new creation is Christ, And you live according to that love, which Christ is love. So when you walk according to that or live according to that, he said, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Well, when he says upon the Israel of God, there must be an Israel that's not of God. That's the natural Israel. See, that's not of God. He was just using that as an example. The true Israel of God is the spiritual side, which is in all of us. Not just those people that live over in that country. Verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me. In other words, let me read that in the Living Bible. Let me give you something there. See if I can get this right. From now on, please don't argue with me about these things, because I carry on my body the scars of the whippings and wounds from Jesus' enemies that mark me as his slave. Don't argue with me about it, because you know I've experienced this, what he's saying. You can't beat experience, can you? Opinions don't beat experience. He said, I've been beaten for the man. Don't talk to me. Don't argue with me about this stuff. And he was arguing with the best religious people the world had to offer at the time, didn't he? He wasn't talking to rookies. He was talking hardcore Pharisees. He said, don't even bother arguing with me anymore. It's beyond that. And that's the point we have to come to. We don't want to fight and fuss about that stuff anymore. If we've experienced it, the experience will tell you to let it go. Just let it go. Yep. And verse 17, and the word... In that word marks, I wanted to bring out something in that word. That word, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. It says a scar of service or ownership. He'd been marked as a mark of service or ownership, and either one of them apply. He said, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's not a good rendering. It's the word meet. It means in the midst of your spirit. But it says grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the grace? Grace. The language literally says specifically the divine influence in the heart of a person and a reflection into his lifestyle. Okay. So he says, brethren, that grace, that divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that out to those of our Lord Jesus Christ be in the midst of your spirit. So be it. So be it. No one's going to change that, are they?
No.
They can mistranslate and do all kinds of things, but when you go back and find the original languages again, you know they can't change anything. And these people that try to change these translations around and try to, like the Jews did, they added sections in, they took sections out, you know, to try to hide it. And you know what? It still comes out. Did it change anything? I don't think that anything had happened, and that's with the religious folk who tried to control the scriptures, to control people like religion does. I don't think they ever accomplished anything that God didn't want them to do. Proverbs 25:2 says, the glory of God to conceal the word, and the honor of kings is to search it out. He concealed the word, and the honor of kings is to search that word out. Come on. He wanted it done. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want this thing? If you have a call on your life, there's no option in it.
I don't think he concealed the man.
He did, but it's also concealed in this. But it's written in the, it says it's written in the heart of man before the foundation of the world. So,
GPS.
Huh? It's our internal GPS, God's positioning system. He's got us right where he wants us.
Bible